This is CBS Eye on the World, the New World Report with Professor Evan Ellis of the U.S. Army War College. I'm John Batchelor. We're speaking of Venezuela. Venezuela, much in the news, threats by the number two in the Socialist Party. That number one is Maduro, Nicolas Maduro, the dictator. The number two, recently taking up the headlines out of the Ukraine crisis, says that we here in Venezuela can do to Colombia what Russia's doing to Ukraine, invade it and take it over and make it our style of government. It's bluster, but it certainly gets attention in Bogota. We turn now to the border region. We've talked to this before, because drugs flow easily back and forth, because if you light up your cell phone along the border with Venezuela and Colombia, I'm told by a colleague of mine, Joseph Umar, that you get a signal, a very good signal, thanks to a Russian transmitter, a Russian repeater. The technology is used along the border. I also learned now from a news item at Human Rights Watch that the indigenous peoples of Venezuela and Colombia are struggling, are persecuted, are to seek refuge along the border, and they're threatened by the narco-terrorist gangs and by their conditions. Professor, the reason I raise this is we've run into indigenous people politics in Chile, in Argentina, in Brazil, and this is new to me that it's also true in Venezuela and Colombia. Is there a tension in Colombia to this crisis along the border of the indigenous people? These are not voting citizens as you normally understand them, but in other countries, they become a major debating point.
Well, there are a combination of similarities and differences, John. You know, certainly in Colombia, there has not been the question of pushback and high-level political activism, and certainly not terrorism, as you find with certain groups of Mapuche in Chile. But certainly there have been questions of the rights of the indigenous people to live undisturbed, and their different social and other rights as civilization has encroached. The area that we're talking about here, especially the various different border regions that along the relatively long Colombian-Venezuelan border, this was traditionally a relatively unpopulated or sparsely populated area. And because of that, and also because of the security activities to restore control over Colombian territory during the days of people like former President Álvaro Uribe, you had the displacement of some of the guerrillas and also the other criminal groups that were operating in that same border area into Venezuela, something that was actively permitted first by Hugo Chavez and then by, of course, the Nicolas Maduro regime, who found groups like the FARC and ELN convenient to help the Venezuelan regime organize their own territory in criminal operations. But the net result is that things have gotten out of control. And so in places like Arauca and Vichita on the Colombian side, Norte de Santander, in places like Apure on the Venezuelan side, you have increasing levels of criminality. Groups like the FARC, the dissidents of the FARC, some of the returned guerrillas like the Segundo Marquetalia, groups like the ELN, the sindicatos on the Venezuelan side, and the old prison gangs, the Prenas, what the Venezuelans like to call Colombian criminal groups or Tancol, the Colombians call GAO. All of these groups have really made a lethal mix in an area in which also you have large number of desperate Venezuelans flowing through areas like Cucuta. And so in the middle of all that mix has been these indigenous groups who, again, find themselves caught up in the recruitment in the violence in the refugees in the armed groups. And so it's really been for them a very unfortunate and difficult situation. Now, there are other indigenous dynamics in other parts of Colombia that have to really do with indigenous rights to communities and land and things like that. But frankly, in the border region between Venezuela and Colombia, with the current situation, they are just hanging on to not be completely marginalized what remains of their economic existence and cultural existence.
I read from the report at Human Rights Watch on January 20th of this year, ELN members, that's, as I understand, a subset of the old narco-terrorist gang known as FARC, ELN members broke into a house in rural Puerto Paez, Apura district, took away a 14-year-old girl and her 18-year-old brother at gunpoint. On January 28th, A neighbor told their mother that her children had been killed during a fight with FARC dissident group and where to find their bodies. The mother found them and said there were many other corpses in the area. Are we looking at not only kidnapping, but child soldiers? Is that what's happening as well?
This has been going on for years and years, John. I mean, the FARC, the ELN, and others were notorious for recruiting people of very, very young age, oftentimes, really kidnapping them from, villages and obligating them to join the ranks of the guerrillas. There are many, many stories to that extent, and especially under indigenous groupings. But as you pointed out, there are a range of different groups who have different mixtures of methods. You had the ELN, who started out as a Maoist group who was really started making their money initially robbing banks and then doing kidnappings and extorting the oil pipelines and the oil infrastructure that was in that area, and have really in recent years drifted into the what they call the Orinoco mining arc in the interior of Venezuela, where they basically extort and help to kind of criminally organize illegal gold mining. On top of that, you have the loosely allied FARC, and you had the dissident groups from the FARC organized by a leader by the name of Gentil Duarte, different basically remnants of different FARC fronts that were left behind after the Colombian 2016 peace deals, the 10th Front, the 28th Front, the 45th Front, to a certain degree, the 33rd Front, again, empowered by their involvement in cocaine and criminal activities also in that border region. Then on top of that, you had the returning of dissatisfied members of the old FARC groups. So a leader by the name of Ivan Marquez, Jesus Santrich, who was recently killed in battle, that have thrown themselves into the mix, and then groups like the Pelusos, the EPL, others such as the so-called Gulf Clan, that again were more criminal in their orientation and had their own origins as militias organized to provide rural security back 20 or 30 years ago.
So we're looking at a long-term tragedy that is exacerbated by Caracas. Is that a fair summary? We just have a few seconds.
Absolutely.
Professor Avenelis, there are other fires. We have to race. Peru is in turmoil since the election of Pedro Castillo. Professor Avenelis of the U.S. Army War College, I'm John Bash.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor,